The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On Newstalk.
Well, in dramatic fashion, former mixed martial art fighter Conor McGregor has withdrawn one of his main grounds of appeal against the civil case won by Nikita Hand that found him liable for her assault. For this, I'm joined by Newstalk's courts correspondent, Frank Graney. Good afternoon, Frank.
Good afternoon, Anton.
Dramatic fashion, dramatic events in the court, an 11th hour withdrawal of what was seen as a very significant allegation and a significant part of his appeal.
Yeah, I mean, it is uncommon that new evidence would be introduced as part of an appeal. Appeals by their nature are generally exclusively on points of law. But we did know in the run-up to this hearing date that Conor McGregor and his legal team were preparing to apply to have new evidence introduced, because new evidence in these types of cases isn't an automatic right. A legal team will have to prove that it is relevant and probative, all of those things, and will also have to prove its credibility. So ahead of this appeal, Conor McGregor's legal team sought to introduce this fresh evidence on the back of sworn statements made by two former neighbours of Nikita Hand, Samantha O'Reilly and her partner Stephen Cummins. And in those affidavits, they claimed they saw and heard things coming from Ms. Hand's home across the road in Drimna, where she lived at the time, that led them to believe that she was being physically assaulted by Ms. Hand's then partner. Now, this would have been a few hours after Conor McGregor attacked Nikita Hand in the Beacon Hotel back in December of 2018. And if that evidence had been allowed, it could have offered an potential alternative explanation as to how Ms. Hand got all the bruises and the other injuries, photos of which were shown to the jury during that legal action against McGregor that she won late last year. He had no explanation as to how she got those injuries when he was asked about them. He insisted what happened between them in the penthouse suite of that hotel was consensual. And on top of that, his team wanted to introduce evidence from a former state pathologist based in Northern Ireland, Professor Jack Crane, whom they claimed previously would support the credibility of the evidence being put forward by Nikita Hand's former neighbours. But as you say, at the 11th hour, the court was told this morning that the defence wanted to withdraw its application in its entirety to introduce this so-called new evidence. That was on foot. We heard of instructions from Conor McGregor himself. One of his barristers, a KC by the name of Mark Mulholland, said they simply couldn't sustain the ground of appeal.
Now, presumably Nikita Hand's legal team and she herself will have spent an awful lot of time and effort preparing to resist the allegations that were being brought by McGregor's side. What was their reaction to this last minute withdrawal?
Shock initially. John Gordon is the senior counsel who represented her throughout the civil proceedings and indeed today at the appeal hearing. And he expressed his shock at the development. He claimed that he'd only been told about it 10 minutes before the court sat. He said that his client had yet again been put through the ringer. And that was in reference to, I suppose, details from those affidavits appearing in various newspapers over the last while. He said that his client had always maintained that the claims made by her former neighbours were lies, that her former partner had never laid a hand on her. Yes, they had a verbal row. We know about that because there was a recording played of it to the jury at that civil hearing, that civil trial rather, but she insisted that he never laid a hand on her. Her side wanted the opportunity to cross-examine the neighbours. That was obviously denied to them with the withdrawal of the application today. They also wanted to question Conor McGregor's solicitor, Michael Staines, who was due to give evidence, as I understand it, as to how their statements came about months after Nikita Hand won her legal action. John Gordon also said, interestingly, that Conor McGregor should be pursued for subordination of perjury. In other words, inducing people to perjure themselves. He wanted the application to go ahead. He urged the court not to accept their application to withdraw. He said Nikita Hand and her ex were being accused of lying. They were very serious allegations. And now he said the other side waltz in here and they think they can walk away from it in a sentence. The judges also expressed their dissatisfaction at the late withdrawal. They questioned the reasoning behind it. They probed further as to why the application was being withdrawn. They didn't seem happy with the initial answers that they were given in relation to it. And Mr. Mulholland simply said the strength of the expert witness wasn't enough to sustain the application as a whole. He said they couldn't find a legal gateway. He apologised for the late withdrawal. The judges then rose for a few minutes to consider the application. And when they returned, they said that there was no point forcing it. So the appeal got underway without that application being brought. But before it did, John Gordon, again, the barrister representing Nikita Hand, asked for an apology for once again putting his client, as he said, through the ringer. And he said that she maintained again that those claims made by her former neighbours were all lies, suggested that they had now been conceded. And on behalf of Mr McGregor's side, he said that that would be something considered by his solicitor in due course.
What are the options available to Nikita Hand? Because if allegations of that nature were made in public forum and she was put through the ringer outside of a court proceeding, she would have the capacity to litigate if she chose in respect of a defamation act and bring that to the courts. What if it is in this instance where it's already part of a court proceeding? Does she have any legal recourse?
It's a great question. My first thought, Anton, is no, I don't think so, because my understanding is that statements made in the course of legal proceedings, which would include affidavits, are protected by absolute privilege. So even if an affidavit contains untruths, a defamation claim, as I understand, and I could be wrong on this, can succeed if the statement was made for the purpose of legal proceedings. The reason, I suppose, that we have absolute privilege in these types of cases is to ensure that litigants can speak freely without fear of being sued. Now, that said, it is an offence to lie under oath. Nikita Hand was adamant that lies were told. She insisted in her own affidavit, as I said, that her former partner never laid a hand on her. Now, clearly it's not for us to decide whether or not lies were told. All we know is that claims were made, claims which she strongly denied. But the issue wasn't thrashed out in court because of Conor McGregor's decision not to pursue it. But it was interesting when Mr. Gordon suggested the matter be referred to the Director of Public Prosecutions for consideration of potential perjury. And time will tell, I suppose, if that comes to pass.
Was Conor McGregor himself in court for these proceedings today?
He wasn't, no, although an eagle-eyed photographer did spot a rather distinctive Bentley driving around the area. But no, he wasn't. I didn't see him myself. Nikita was there. She was there with her partner, Gary, her mother, other family and friends, I noticed, also there. And Natasha O'Brien was also there in court in support for this afternoon. She is the survivor of a vicious assault, as we all know, in Limerick at the hands of a former soldier, Cathal Crotty. The courtroom today was packed, as you can imagine, a lot of media attention at it. And I suppose Nikita Hand was there because she thought that she may potentially have to get into the witness box again and be cross-examined in relation to issues that didn't come to pass. But Conor McGregor himself wasn't there. Now, there was an audio link helpfully set up by the court service where I suppose members of the media that couldn't gain access to the courtroom and other interested parties could access proceedings remotely. As to whether Conor McGregor was in the end of one of those audio links, I don't know for sure.
Now, Frank, the evidence that you were taking us through earlier on in respect to the allegations that McGregor's side were intending to bring and then didn't, that was one element of the appeal. As I understand it, there are other elements pertaining to the way that the trial judge handled aspects of the evidence in the briefing to the jury. What of that and what of the continued appeal proceedings?
Four grounds of appeal, two of which Remy Farrell, Conor McGregor's barrister, went through in detail. The judges will obviously have written submissions in relation to all of the grounds of appeal. And the four are, I suppose, what was on the issue paper. That was the document that the jury had handed to them when they went out to consider their deliberations. Also, Conor McGregor's no comment interviews, the availability of expert reports and the judge's directions to the jury. We heard during the trial that after his arrest, Conor McGregor exercised his right not to answer Garda questions. He provided them with a prepared statement. Ordinarily, a jury, certainly in criminal trials, in my experience, is never told if a suspect makes no comment to Garda questions, because a suspect has a right not to incriminate themselves in that situation. And there is a worry that a jury may see a refusal to answer questions as a sign of guilt. It could be prejudicial. Remy Farrell claimed that during the civil trial, Nikita Hand's lawyers should not have been allowed to cross-examine him at length about the no comments he made during those Garda interviews. The other side today justified the line of questioning on the basis that Conor McGregor had suggested in his direct evidence that he fully cooperated with the investigation. And Mr. Farrell challenged whether that is in fact what he said in his direct evidence. All of these things will obviously be for the three judges of the Court of Appeal to decide. In relation to the issue paper, Mr. Farrell also raised issues about the wording of it. The jury was asked if an assault had taken place, and he said there are clear distinctions between battery and sexual assault. And he accused the judge of appearing to have used assault as a placeholder for what the cause of action was. And during his submissions today, one of the judges interjected to remind Mr. Farrell that the trial judge, Mr. Justice Alex Soames, had in fact told the jury the allegation was assault by rape. Now, that wasn't on the issue paper, but the judge reminded him that he had said that. And Mr. Farrell agreed, but again, he said that the issue paper didn't mention any sexual assault, and he was worried that that would potentially confuse the jurors during their deliberations as to what they were exactly they were asked to consider. Now, in response to that, Nikita Hans Barrister said the wording of the issue paper was a collaboration by all parties. And after raising an initial concern, he said that Mr. Farrell, again representing Conor McGregor, was in agreement with the wording of the issue paper that eventually went to the jury. And he said that it couldn't have been clear in evidence and the judge's charge that they were dealing with assault by rape. There was no ambiguity, he said. He said there could have been no confusion arising out of the wording of the issue paper. And he said, Ray Boland, that is, one of Nikita Hans barristers, he said it's a nonsense, an insult to the intelligence of the jury to suggest they didn't know what the case was about when they retired to consider the evidence.
And finally and briefly, Frank, how long before we get a verdict?
We don't know. We were expecting this appeal to go on a little bit longer. Obviously, given the fact that that application was withdrawn, it has shortened matters somewhat. It will enter a second day of hearing tomorrow, but there will most likely be a reserved judgment. So we won't have a precise date for judgment. I suspect the judges will go away and they will consider all of the written submissions and the oral submissions before they arrive at their decision.
Frank, thank you very much for that report. Frank Graney, News Talk's courts correspondent there.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.